American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Tuesday, June 14th, 2005. And this would be Newsreel, your daily report as the woke counterculture defeats the evil of core political tyranny. And you can take a stand along with Rant Media just by listening to this program. You are taking a stand for free speech, and you are able to stand up and say, no, we're mad as hell, and we're not going to take it anymore. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. You can get to my live journal by going to Sean, S-E-A-N, underscore Kennedy, dot livejournal.com. And that would be me, Sean Kennedy, your host, as we go through this crazy world of news I've got before you. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Radio306.com, OspreyRadio.info, and latest and greatest was Extreme Radio Tampa. Very, very cool. Glad to have everybody on board, and glad that we can spread the word, the virus, and all ideas of freedom that we have out there in the universe. You yourself can help spread the virus by distributing this, and you're free to do so any way you see fit. If you want to make remixes out of it, you want to give it to people, you want to give it to people you don't know, if you want to make sure that other people are downloading it on a podcast. As a matter of fact, if you see somebody with an iPod, you can walk up to them and say, hey, you know what, man? Do you think this is really cool? Wow, have I ever got some static on my line from my mic. But anyway, if you see somebody with an iPod, you can walk up and say, hey, man, how are you getting your news? And they'd be like, what do you mean? And be like, do you have a news program? No? Well, you want to check out Newsreel. Go check it out. Type in Sean Kennedy Newsreel. You'll find it. Get the podcast, and it'll be the funniest goddamn news show you ever did hear. People don't want negative stuff. They want positive stuff. Well, I can't report the positive stuff because the world's a scary place. But what I can do is try to at least make it mildly entertaining for all of you out there. And do some feedback for those people who are mildly entertained. Dear Sean, real quick. Thanks for everything. No problem. You're welcome for everything. I can't believe I made it this far, you know, without flipping out and shooting everybody or blowing up a government building. Well, that's always positive. Anytime I can stop people from shooting and blowing up government buildings, I feel myself as a responsible citizen. I'm still in shock that I'm done with high school. Well, hopefully. Wow, check out how much I'm not reading this guy's name on the air. Well, anyways, I just want to say thanks because I couldn't have done it without Rant Radio. And that's the purpose of Rant Radio, especially for all my law enforcement brethren out there who are listening. We're all together. Solid. Yes. It's true. I want to make sure that the kids have a positive outlet so that they don't have to pick up a gun. Because God knows there's too many kids out there picking up guns and taking out their vengeance on the rest of society. I'm all for taking out your vengeance on society, just not with a gun, you know? Because there's too many people shooting anyway in the world, as all you have to do is turn on the news and you'll see it everywhere. I'm dying. Another piece of feedback. Dear Sean, I wanted to add something you said about the Blackwater Mercs. Now, Blackwater is a private military corporation who works for Halliburton, and they provide security, quote-unquote, which is essentially nothing more than mercenary units who, like, go overseas, grow bad mustaches, shave their hair bald, get tattoos, and then rape girls in Thailand. That's pretty much what they do. Some of them do good work, which is true. It depends on what they do good work, but the work they do is not very good. A good place for developing nations to get an emergency force. Well, not really. That's the party line, but mercenaries are hired killers, okay? These are not people who have any kind of code or ethics or anything like that. They're there for one reason, one reason only, that's to get the money, make as much as they can, and get out, and they don't care who gets hurt in the process. And a lot of people say, you don't know that. You don't know that for certain. Unfortunately, yeah, I do. I know mercenaries. I've worked with mercenaries. I'm here to tell you they're not nice people, okay? Maybe they're a necessary evil. I'll give you that, but I would never encourage that sort of behavior. Yes, true, they do make an emergency force, but that's possibly the only good thing about them, and even then is kind of iffy. Past that, they're a horrible idea for use in war because they can leave at almost any time without the threat of court martials. Yes, there's no accountability for these merc units, and actually what they are is their core political muscle. What if the WOGs infiltrated groups like Blackwater? Infections spread faster on the inside. Okay, first of all, I don't think any... I'm sure we got some pretty qualified WOGs out there, but generally to join an outfit like Blackwater, you've got to be pretty high up there. You know, there's a lot of folks wanting to get paid $600 a day to go overseas and get put their lives on the line to save oil executives, I guess. You know, because everybody's desperate for cash. Now, for anybody who's got some crazy ideas in their head about being a mercenary, take it from me. This is you need to reevaluate your situation, okay? If you're actually considering doing merc work, you've got about a 70 to 80% chance of getting fucking dead, okay? And if you're not into getting dead, you know, then maybe you should consider not being a mercenary. It's not a happy task. Furthermore, if you have no combat experience, if you've never actually been in the service, you've never actually gone out there, been involved, and had to deal with the military, especially in a theater, dude, like, no, okay? You want to just rethink this. It's a bad plan. Reevaluate, okay? You got a wrong idea here. Sorry, dude, can't condone that. Mercenaries are generally evil. Yes, they exist. They always have existed. They always will exist. And Conan was one. But you know what? That's fantasy. This is reality. In the really real world, mercenaries are pieces of shit. Hey, Sean. Had a lot of fun at the rant meet. Yes, we had the rant meet on Saturday. And what a wild time that was. I got some crazy stuff that happened just like this whole weekend. It's just been insane for me. But anyway, I had a lot of fun at the rant meet. I hope to do that again sometime. So do I. I like to do a rant meet once, maybe once every 6 months or so it doesn't get too old. You know what I mean? I'd like to thank Sim for the DVD and the music, because, of course, we distribute everything. And I wish I could remember that other guy's name so I could thank him for the Triad CD. It's true, Vavrick from Triad was up, and he was handing out his new music. Very, very cool. On another note, I would like to hear your opinion on something. After the rant meet, someone I know described you as a very effective propaganda artist. And if that wasn't bad enough, a friend of mine agreed with her. That froze me in my tracks. I didn't know how to respond. Personally, I think you're a great guy. I'd like to hear what you think. I'll talk to you later, man. And that was from someone at the Rammy. So now let's just take a look at this. People get this all the time. You know, they're like, Sean, somebody said this about you. Do you care? First of all, never let the barkings of the jackal disturb the sleep of the dragon right off the top. But past that, okay, you got to think about what was said there. What did they say? I said I was a propaganda artist. Well, according to the dictionary, propaganda is, one, the systemic propagation of a doctrine or cause or of information reflecting the views and interests of those advocating such doctrine or cause. Okay. Two, material disseminated by the advocates or opponents of a doctrine or cause, quote, like wartime propaganda. Three, propaganda of Roman Catholic Church, a division of the Roman Curia that has the authority in the matter of preaching the gospel, establishing church in non-Christian countries, and of administering church missions in territories where there is no properly organized hierarchy. Well, I would suppose that, yes, I am a propaganda artist. I would say that. Yeah, sure. You know, because propaganda is nothing more than information with a slant. And anybody who reports information does it with a slant. I am not Dan Rather. I am not. Dan Rather is... I could not do Dan Rather's job. I am in awe of Dan Rather because the man is able to stand up there and report everything with just stone-cold, solid face. And he's a great guy, too. You know, he's got an amazing sense of humor. If anybody's ever seen an interview with the dude, Dan Rather's an amazing human being. But when people say, Sean, you're a propaganda artist, you're like left-wing and right-wing, people call me all sorts of stuff. The left calls me right, the right calls me left. No one really knows where I fit in anywhere. And I don't really care about the labels. They call me a propaganda artist, an asshole, whatever. You know, make your own decision. If you think I'm an idiot, great, rock on. If you think I'm an idiot but you enjoy the stories, again, great, rock on. If you listen to the show and it entertains you on some level and decreases suffering on some level in your life, perfect. I've achieved my mission. Okay? Don't worry about what other people say about you, because like what Voltaire said, man, to care what other people think is to be controlled by them. And that's why in our society, everyone's so codependent with this homo urbanus that everybody's turning into, where everybody's got to know everybody, everyone's got to make sure that everybody else is okay, everybody's got to make sure that we're okay and we're towing the party line, because nobody wants to be an individual, nobody wants to stand out, and that's why I have a hard time defining what a WOG is. If you want to know what a WOG is, I was talking with Vavrick from Triad about this, and we kind of determined that being a WOG was the meeting of two extremes. It's about balance, and it's about personal balance in your own life. It's a very individualized thing. It's the faith of a new generation. It's a faith in yourself, a faith in science, and the faith in your own beliefs as you define them. That's the whole point of what we're trying to do here. Because you know what? There's a lot of negativity out there. There's a lot of people out there trying to make you afraid. Crises precipitate change. Now, what you got to do is you got to realize, whoa, wait a second, man. Wait a second. There's a lot of shit going on in the world that I can't affect. It's true. There's a lot of stuff beyond your scope of influence. That doesn't mean you don't need to know about it, but it means you can't worry about it. You can't really worry about these guys who are killing each other too much in these Middle Eastern countries, because you know what? Can you do anything about it? No. Should you have knowledge of it? Yes, because it's your world. And you should actively work in little ways, you know, spreading the ideas that the war is a bad idea. You know, we should get our troops out. Oh, I can't believe you don't support the troops. Dude, I support the troops more than you could possibly fucking imagine. I want to get them out of a shitty war they can't win. People, you know, the chairborne, they always want to talk about how the army can do this and how the army can do that. But nobody actually understands what's actually going on the ground unless you're on the fucking ground. That's how it works. You know, you want to know what's going on? Talk to the people on the ground. Talk to the non-coms, the NCOs, man. They know what's happening, and they're probably the only ones. On to sort yourself out. Hey, Sean, I've listened to your shows for years now. You kick ass. And you and I share a lot of views on things, which is true. I that's one of the things I think is the strength of Newsreel, is that usually somebody will agree with me on some point. You know, a lot of people disagree with me on a lot of points, and that's okay. Just don't kill me for it, and I will kill you for it, and we can get along, and everybody can get mecha, and we'll kick each other's ass on Counter-Strike. What do you say? You guys at Rant Radio turned me on to EBM and synth pop and industrial music. Hot. I just realized how many thousands of times you've heard that, so on to the point. No, the point is, dude, that I turned you on to industrial music, and really, is there any higher praise than that? But anyway, I was just writing, though, because I need some advice badly. In a nutshell, I flip out at the prospect of women being hurt, you and me both. Whether it's real, or just an image, or even a description, it makes me go fucking nuts. Like 20 minutes of rage followed by hours of depression. Sometimes a whole day. Okay, I should state I really have no reasoning behind this feelings I have. It's just the way I am. So I'm sure you can understand how hard it is for a guy like me to suck it up and just go into a world where snuff and rape films are extremely common on the internet. Where the media has no shortage of rape, assault, and murder inflicted on women, there's only a fraction of what goes on in real life. Now granted, I have some tolerance. It's not like I say a woman getting slapped on TV and go all hokey smash and shit. But I want to say casualties of war. But I can't watch, say, Casualties of War or True Romance. Incidentally, okay, I'll finish this off here. The worst part is, there's no way at all I can escape from this stuff that gets me this way. Be it in a book, a game, be it in the news, in real life, or in an accidental finding on the internet. It always pops up again. Just a while back, I had to turn off Rant Industrial because of a Bluten Gel song that was playing. I just can't figure out what to do at all, man. I'm going to the point where prowling the bad parts of town with a 1911 hunting rapists is sounding like a great therapy. No worries, I'm not going to kill anyone. Well, you know, I couldn't advise that, but, you know, generally. Anyways, hope you can help. If nothing else, just give me a few words of motivation to keep me going. I really, no need to read this stuff on the air or anything if you don't have the time. It gets better, or get a better sort yourself out. I understand, I mean, I really understand, Sense, not that trying to make you feel sorry for me, Sense. Take care, name withheld. Now, it's like this, buddy. I know what you're saying when you say you see violence against women on, you know, in media and stuff like that. It makes you nuts. There's a movie came out a while ago, great film, called The Power of One. It's about apartheid and subjugation in South Africa. You know, Morgan Freeman was in it, and there's some really hardcore scenes in there of humiliation. Essentially, like, take bullying, and this guy, this white oppressor dude, makes this black guy eat shit and stuff. It's really, really hardcore. And I had to turn the film off, okay? I can't watch that because I get so nuts. Okay, same with a film. There's another film about a pedophile called Happiness. Okay, very fucked up film. Ask Sim about it. I was at his house, and I stood up, and I started yelling, and I fucking was going to walk out of his house. We had to shut off the movie. I was freaking out. It's not wrong to be outraged by this kind of stuff. It's not wrong to be outraged by women being the victims of violent crime. I'm outraged by any time I see anyone be a victim of violent crime. It's funny how they call things domestic violence. You know, like somehow domestic makes it sound like not so bad. Violence is horrible. Violence is fucking wretched, and violence against women is a very strong thing in the psyche of the male mind, especially any male who I would stand up and say, you know, you're a decent human being. You know, no one wants to see big people getting picked on by little people. No one wants to see someone getting hurt. No one really wants to see violence generally. So, you know, what can I say to try to control that? Try to control your media. Try to control what you see, hear, and watch. I don't watch dramas. Why? Because I don't like watching a film that makes me feel bad. I like to do escapism. That's what film is for. You go to the movie theater, see a movie about guys kicking ass and taking names, going back in time and saving the day, getting the girl. That's what you want to watch. That's what I want to watch. Maybe some people are different. I can't force my views on anyone. I don't agree with people who get off on watching rape footage or snuff movies. I think that's fucked up, sick, and weird. You know, anybody who says, well, I don't think that, you know, pornography is really all that bad. You know, well, there's a lot of counterpoints to that kind of stuff. You know, look at a film like 8mm. Watch that. Tell me you don't think that it really has an effect on people, because it does. It really does. So I don't know what to tell you, buddy, other than the fact that you should probably realize that at this stage of the game, you need to lock down your input. Make sure you got no ports open. Don't go looking for stuff. Don't go, like, shopping for magazines and crap like that. If you know it's going to make you nuts, avoid the places that make you insane. Stop watching television. Stop doing it. Make sure you check before you go, because the last thing you want to do is make yourself more nuts. I can't tell you to desensitize yourself against violence against women. That's a horrible concept. Violence against women is terrible. But gradually, if you want to do something to probably help yourself feel better, maybe you should volunteer at a crisis center. Try to do something so that you're helping the issue, so that if you do see something like that, at least you have something inside of yourself you can cling to and say, you know what, at least I'm trying to make a difference. Just my own thought. But beyond that, buddy, just try to control your own input of data, because really, media is nothing more than mind control, and they're trying to control us all the time. Ask an effective propaganda artist like me. At least, hell, I'm not pushing a single idea, and I am open to change, so if I change my mind, I'll tell you. I'm wrong often. I'm wrong early, and I'm wrong often. But at least I do tell you that I am wrong, or I say something with the preface of, hey, I could be wrong, and it's just my opinion. There's no reason to think that anybody is infallible, because nobody is. That's what makes me nuts about these politicians, you know? These politicians get up on stage, they say some shit, and everyone's like, oh, well, yeah, but he got a blowjob. He got a blowjob. Well, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? So what? So we got a blowjob. Big fucking deal. I mean, Winston Churchill was a nut bar, but the guy did a lot of good at his time. He did a lot of bad, too. But sometimes, you know, nobody's perfect. Sometimes you got to do what needs to get done. Now, from Thunderspud, I got a left and right wing opinion here. Now, check this out. This was an article that got sent to me. It's on the page here. Opinion, left, right wing. Now, this is the article. The ripe stench of human excrement is getting stronger in the downtown lanes, curtailing the stomachs of workers who no longer want to relax by the back door for smoke breaks. This is all happening in Vancouver, British Columbia. We're getting to the point where the need for public toilets is getting serious, said Charles Gauthier, executive director of Downtown Vancouver Business Improvement Association. There's a burgeoning entertainment district, a growing homelessness problem, and people have nowhere to go. I've been with the association for 15 years, and it's just becoming more and more of an issue to more and more of our members. The stench of urine and feces in the back lanes of the Central Business District and the downtown east side is probably a lot where it's probably a lot worse, he says. The 10-block city slum is swollen with up to 5,000 injection drug users. You like that? You see how this article is kind of spun here? Who have less control of their bowels. What a strange thing to write. Many are homeless and have nowhere to go to the toilet. Often, drug users roam out of the neighborhood and into the alleys linking downtown businesses. Gauthier and his members don't want to clean up the piles of excrement the homeless make on their properties, and he doesn't blame them. The Vancouver Coastal Health Authority has gotten involved and is calling for action before disease spreads. Now, granted, this whole attitude here is one of these things where they say, you know, they brought in the safe injection sites. There's a lot of stuff because Vancouver has safe injection sites. Now, there's a couple of different schools of thought. I was just down in this region, and I walked by some alleyways. You know what? I wouldn't want to hang out in the alleyways on the east side of Vancouver. Not really a happy place to be. Not without firepower, anyway. But you got to look at this and go, okay, well, what are they really saying here? You know, what are we going to do about the homeless problem? Do we have a final solution for the homeless problem? Are we going to put them all in cattle cars, take them off for medical experimentation? No. These people are the end result of a society gone mad. Now, if we reward this sort of behavior with safe injection sites and with massive welfare checks, the problem's just going to grow. And it's going to grow because other people in other parts of the world, like Canada, are going to come across Canada, come to Vancouver, because apparently we've got safe injection sites. We give people, you know, a nice place to shoot up with flowers and everything, stainless steel counters. And, you know, since our climate here is kind of temperate, so in the wintertime, it doesn't go to minus 80 and kill like 300 to 400 people every year like it does in Winnipeg. So, you know, more of them are going to be coming out here. And gradually, this will be pissing more people off as the 2010 Olympics come into Vancouver. So now we've got, you know, we want to keep Vancouver beautiful. We want to keep our tourism up, but we hate these blight of these homeless people. So what can we do about them? Well, we passed the Safe Streets Act, didn't we? So that, you know, eventually law enforcement can charge people for hostile panhandling, which includes things like making eye contact. Essentially, this is about if you're broke, homeless, and insane, we want to get rid of you because you're a pain in the ass. Nobody wants to deal with the problem because, well, these homeless insane people are not accountable to themselves. So what do you do about it? It is a pickle. The right-wing, hard, rabid, you know, war hawk would say, fuck it. You know, if they can't get their shit together, let them die. let them rot by the wayside? You know, I don't know what the answer is here. Should we set up a camp somewhere on some island and do political re-education? Some people say, oh my God, that's a terrible concept. Yet, what's better? Having some junkie in an alleyway sitting in his own shit? Or to have him sitting there in some camp somewhere trying to learn to be a better human being so he can at least look after himself? You know? Sometimes not everything the Republicans say is complete bullshit. Sometimes the world is a nasty fucking place and we need to have results. What are you going to do? Put them in the army? Send them off to war? You can't just do that. That doesn't work. What about their rights? This is fucking a huge issue here. And this is where the thing where there's no real right answer. There's nothing really, there's no perfect way to solve this. So it comes up with a bad plan that works. And the problem is how much suffering. I mean, I would look at the worst, the plan that caused the least amount of suffering. This is what you got to do. So what's the solution here? If they put out a story saying they were going to do political re-education and moving these people so they got a chance to try to integrate them back into the workforce, even though they're putting them in camps, I would probably be behind that, because what's the other alternative? Putting them in jail? Putting them in prison? If you put them all in a single place and try to teach them so they get back into society and give businesses a break to hire these folks, you know, stuff like that, it's a bad scene, and a lot of these people are addicts and junkies. Some of them can't be reformed. What do you do with them? What about people's brains are goo, hear voices all the time? What do you do? Put them in a home? Put a massive strain on the rest of society and the taxpayers? Or do you kill them outright, like the Nazis wanted to do? It's a bad scene. Anybody who's got a solution, you let me know, because I don't know, man. I don't know. I've got a solution that'll solve it, but it won't be that popular, I'll tell you that right now. Moving into the news, Foulware found some terrorist news. You ready for this one here? Federal authorities continued their search for fugitive members of the Bandidos biker gang Friday after busts in three states netted 19 arrests on charges related to racketeering, drug trafficking, theft, and weapons violations. Pretty much the entire fucking phone book. The U.S. Attorney John McKay in Seattle said the crackdown was launched on Thursday in Washington, Montana, and South Dakota has likely been the nation's most significant bust of a motorcycle gang in 20 years. Why is nobody... Okay, let me finish this. The sweep centered on Bellingham, a city near the Canadian border, Isn't that interesting how they brought that in? Where authorities alleged the Bandidos based their intent international criminal network. Yeah, same sentence, and they got Canada in there with International Criminal Network. Well done. Among those arrested were the group's international president, George Wiegers, 52, and Hugh Gale Henschel, its national sergeant of arms. On the backs of Harleys, they brought violence and drugs to Whatcom County and across the Northwest, McRae said at a news conference Friday. The Bandidos have 170 chapters in 14 countries, including 90 in the U.S. and 40 in Washington State, the indictment says. Membership is estimated at 2,400 bikers, all of whom must ride Harleys. Now, this story here, I look at this and I go, that's great. It's a good start. We've also got the Hells Angels to deal with. There's 100 of these biker gangs that are international, that do have international drug ties, and nobody has yet to explain to me how these folks are not terrorists. Oh, we don't have the resources. We don't have the resources to deal with the biker problem and the drug problem in the United States. We just can't do it. Not enough resources. Sorry. Well, I got a really big plan for you. Why don't we just haul everyone out of Iraq and all these kids who are fighting a desert war they can win? And why don't we hold our own soil against these criminal scumbags that are a terrorist organization that are moving drugs and weapons onto the street? Well, Sean, if you take out all the bikers, just the Asians are going to come in and take over and the Russian mafia is going to come in and take over. No, man, fuck that. Crush organized crime. Smash it. Bring in the Rangers and sort that fucking shit out. You know, if you're really serious on this war on drugs, and it's a miracle to me that they're talking about putting pot users in jail, the end user, meanwhile they got these guys bringing in hardcore crank, meth, coke, God knows what else, extorting children, making prostitution like a daily thing, where the term pimping is now considered somehow positive, whatever the fuck that means. People need to do a little bit of research into things like prostitution before they start using a term like, oh, I need to pimp that out. You know, pimping is not cool. Okay, it's not even remotely cool. And, you know, take a look at what's involved with that, because it's all about exploitation, about drug addiction. It's all the best parts of nasty. So you know what? These bikers out there who are doing their thing and all that kind of jazz, you know what? Maybe they got their way there and stuff like that, but you've signed up calling yourself a member of an organization like the Bandidos or the Hells Angels, and you think that's a quick way to furl cash and riches? Don't do it. Don't do it. If you're thinking about joining a biker gang, don't do it. If you're in a gang, get the fuck out. You know, and if you can, because most people try to leave and these people wind up getting killed. It's only a matter of time before the government, I think, will get involved and sort these guys out, but there's too much money at stake, and they're too well integrated into society. So when you hear about these groups like the Bandidos being taken down, I wonder who is happy about this. Who is happy about the Bandidos losing their target there? Is the Hells Angels just going to take over all the Bandidos' turf? Is that what's going to happen now? If you're going to declare war on one biker gang, you better declare war on all of them. That's how it works. And if you think the cops can handle it, wrong. The cops are out fucking gunned against bikers. I'm sorry, I'm the first one to say it. And any cop would tell you the same thing, man. The same goddamn thing. No cop could stand up to a biker gang. Not a prayer. Because these guys got way too much hardware. A lot of them are ex-military. As a matter of fact, the entire Hells Angels used to be fighter pilots back in the day. So you know what? If you want to go up against the biker gangs, that's fine. I think that's a good start. But don't, like, start doing the Hells Angels dirty work and then tell me that you're doing good. No. You ought to be taking out all the biker gangs. And all organized crime, for that matter. But, of course, no. There's no connection between organized crime and politics. Not at all. Not even a little bit. Maybe if we get the Pharmacom companies to turn on the biker gangs, that'd be all right. We'll get corporate versus bikers. That's a plan. Now, in Ripper Doc news, listen to this. Listen to this story. This is just nuts. This is out of Australia, and this is one of the reasons. This is one of those stories where you go, yeah, there's that joke. You know, what's the difference between God and a doctor? You know, God doesn't think he's a doctor. That's the major difference. Now, listen to this. Not often are doctors so bad at their jobs that the nurses actually resort to hiding patients from them. But that is precisely what happened in a Queensland Bundaberg hospital after Dr. Janet Patel started working there in 2003, according to hospital staff. The realization of just how many botched operations were carried out by Dr. Patel is only now coming to light. What do you mean, only now? Nobody notices? An investigation was launched in March after a nurse who is just fucking, like, stone cold and has got more spine, and big props to her, Tony Hoffman, this nurse who stood up and said, fuck this doctor is a psycho, complained about the large number of procedures performed by Dr. Patel, which had led to serious complications. An interim report published on Friday recommended that he should be charged with both murder and negligence if he's ever found. Dr. Patel fled Australia in April, and while Queensland Strait authorities want to seek his extradition, his current whereabouts remain unknown. There's a picture of the guy on the site, so if I'd love for Wogs to hunt this fucker down, this would be great. Dr. Patel fled Australia in April, so God knows where he is. So no matter what country you're in, get a look at this guy and see, you know, usually hospitals have photo charts. I bet you through the internet this guy's photo is at the hospital he's currently working at. I'd love to find this. The case of Dr. Patel, who many local media have dubbed Dr. Death, has caused huge controversy in Australia, not least because of its highlights and potentially wearing laps and checks in overseas medical staff. Unbeknownst to his colleagues, Dr. Patel has already been banned from surgery in the U.S., states of New York, Oregon, in the U.S. states of New York and Oregon, this guy was banned before his arrival in Australia. So this guy is banned on both coasts, East Coast and West Coast. Then he went to Australia. Now he's banned in Australia. So what do you want to bet he's on his way to Europe? So all those European wogs out there, you may have a doctor coming to a hospital near you who's trying to kill people because he's obviously fucking insane. So check that out. A little bit of a wog alert there. If you do know where the guy is, don't take matters into your own hands. We want to report this dude to the Australians, because trust me, they will send some people up who will sort this motherfucker out. Now, in unforeseen side effects news, this was something that was sent to me from Malcav. Okay, check this out. Scientists at the University of Edinburgh have discovered an unlikely ally in the fight against malaria. Ooh. By infecting mosquitoes with a fungi, they can drastically reduce transmission of the disease, which kills well over 1 million people each year. Malaria kills over 1 million people each year, eh? In the past, insecticides like DDT have been used to kill mosquitoes that transplant malaria. Over time, however, many mosquitoes have become resistant to chemical pesticides. By contrast, this radical new approach uses fungus as a biological pesticide. Inert fungal spores are impregnated on cloth or netting and sprayed on houses, walls, or ceiling. When a mosquito touches the spores, the fungus germinates, penetrating the mosquito and grows within it. The mosquito succumbs to the fungus before it has begun to transmit malaria. The scientists at the University of Edinburgh and Imperial College of London discovered that the fungal infection reduced malaria transmissions in the laboratory by 98%. Mostly the mosquitoes died before they became infectious, but the fungus also reduced transmission by interrupting mosquito feeding and may have also directly interfered with the malaria parasites in the mosquito. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a few things about this makes you go, wow, that sounds good, right? Fungus killing mosquitoes, right? Do you know how many animals eat mosquitoes? You know how many animals have to eat mosquitoes every day to survive? So if you remove that animal from the food chain by using a biospore fungus agent, how many other animals are going to suffer? And furthermore, you know, if let's say we put this on a big timeline, let's say the mosquitoes get this fungus, they all start dying en masse. Animals that feed on them almost exclusively also start dying en masse. And then after we lose all our predators, what happens? Oh, the mosquitoes build up an immunity to the fungus, don't they? So then what happens? Oh, we've got more mosquitoes with less predators, so suddenly the problem compounds itself. I don't know if this is such a good idea. It's short-term, not long-term. Now, Wyandi found some cloning news. Now, this is also, you know, this is a kind of a recent update, but check this out. Work on the possibility of cloning humans is dangerous, complicated, and unethical. And there will be no human clones this century. This is what a South Korean stem cell research pioneer has said. Now, this is interesting because just the other day, he's talking about opening a body bank. Wook Suk Hang is the head of a team that cloned the first human embryo for research. That breakthrough sparked a flurry of international debate on the ethics of cloning research. Who gives a fuck? These people are talking about ethics, and meanwhile, we're burning the Amazon. Give me a fucking break. And how governments should be prepared to let it proceed. Well, of course they should, because if they don't, we're all going to die. Last month, the scientists cloned patient-specific stem cells, an important if doctors are to develop cell-based therapies that will not be rejected by the body's immune system. Again, science, medicine, all good stuff. They found faster and safer ways to cull stem cells using far fewer donated eggs, about 20 per try, and were able to eliminate the use of mouse cells employed to complement human lines. Any trials using the therapy on humans would still be years away. Wow. Now, this is interesting because everybody else is reporting this, and all of a sudden, China comes out and said, no, we're not cloning humans, blah, blah, blah. Bullshit, Jack. CNN just shut this down pretty fast. That's what they're saying. Why? Well, because we wouldn't want America thinking that South Korea is further ahead than us. You know what I mean? If you think South Korea is not doing this, you need to give your head a shake. I don't give a shit what the news article says. They're going ahead with this research because think of all the reasons why they would. Think of all the reasons why they wouldn't. And it's very obvious what they're doing. Only just not telling people about it. Now, here's an oldie but a goodie that got sent to me by Melchizedek. Now, this is an older article, but I didn't know about this. I got another oldie in here, too, for the news. But check this out. Members of the former software crackhacking... Pardon me. Let's try that again. In Microsoft Piracy News, sent to me by Melchizedek, members of a former software cracking group have discovered... that audio files created with one of its cracked programs are distributed with each copy of Windows XP operating system, possibly exposing Microsoft to large-scale copyright infringement lawsuit. The content in question can be found on every computer with Windows XP as an operating system installed. 9 WAVE audio files located in the folder help/tours/windows-media-player/audio/WAVE in the Windows installation directory include a signature of Deep Zone, a member of the former cracking group Radium. If the files are opened not with an audio player, but with a hex editor or simply in a Windows own text editor, Notepad in the last line displays as 000-406 ING Deep Zone IST SoundForge 4.5. A source confirmed to Tom's Hardware Guide that the signature is authentic for the cracked version of SoundForge 4.5 and relates to the cracker Deep Zone. Now, I wonder if Microsoft is going to push this onto Deep Zone and try to sue him. The Radium group has been dissolved, thank God, about 4 years ago, but it still meets every week in a casual manner, the source said. One of the members circulated the information at a birthday party last week and then pitched the story, apparently, to Germany's PC Welt magazine. PC Welt published the story the same day. So, Microsoft, look at that, using pirated media. So there goes your ethical stance, hey? Oh, we want to get rid of piracy. Fuck you, you clowns. You guys are sitting up there trying to pretend like you're all high and mighty. Meanwhile, you're using your own pirate software. You can kiss my ass. This is bullshit. Now, also an oldie but a goodie chunk of news. This is scary tech. Now, this was out in December before I started Newsreel, so I must have missed this. But listen to this, okay? Now, this was a while ago. We haven't heard shit about this, okay? I'm going to get through this article. Florida scientists had grown a brain in a petri dish and taught it to fly a fighter plane. Now, I may have touched on things like this before, but check this out a little bit deeper. Scientists at the University of Florida taught the brain, which was grown in 25,000-year-old cells, extracted from a rat embryo, to pilot an F-22 jet simulator. It was taught to control the flight path, even in mock hurricane-strength winds. Oh, now, What this is the guy took 25,000 rat neurons, which is basically almost like the size of a drop of blood, okay, made kind of a neural net out of it, and then used the most accurate flight simulator known for a PC. And very soon, the rat brain figured out how to fly this YF-22 in adverse conditions. Like, oh, let's put gale force winds on it. Let's shoot out the tail. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's do this. Let's do that. And soon, the rat brain could compensate perfectly, fly perfectly, was extremely fault tolerant. I mean, we're talking about cybernetically enhancing jets with brains. Now, this was a story about, well, I mean, it was in December, right? December of 2004. So when you look at this and you think, UAV predator drones, much using biological brains from animals cloned in order to enhance computer hardware for killing machines? Sounds like kind of a scary idea to me. Now, what the hell's going on with my microphone here? There's stuff going on that's freaking me out. Now, when you look at this and you think to yourself, wow, that's pretty wild, I see huge military applications for this, and I'd like to see why no one else is talking about this stuff. I should probably see if I can phone this guy, get him on the air. See, maybe I should get a newsreel show going with him. And I'll get these scientists, man. Never mind the celebrities. Let's get the scientists on the show and say, hey, guy, cut the shit. How long before these things turn on us? How long before, you know, you got your cop dogs that are Bottweilers? Because they got the dog program. Don't forget that. DARPA's dog program. Scary little program they got running on down there. Very frightening. What does it do? Well, the concept is this, basically. What they do is they have these certain goals. This is the latest way that DARPA's doing stuff. They have these goals. Like, here's a robot body, okay? And anybody who can make it run over walls, you know, these little things. First, anyone who can make it run, they get $500,000. The next guy takes that program, makes it able to jump over walls, they get another $500,000. It's like anybody who can make the robot do stuff, they take the source code, give them $500,000. Now, what they want to do is they want to take this robot dog they've created, a Bottweiler. They got a big section in the middle of his chest for a payload, which would fit one of those AA-12 auto-loading shotguns pretty good. And, well, you know, you cross that with the rat brain, you know. What's going to happen next? How far are we from the rat things that were in Snow Crash? Ask yourself that. I don't think it's too far down the pipe, buddy. And I think that kind of technology is really, really, well, it's out there. I'll tell you, that's some fringe shit. Do I think it's cool? I don't know if I'd call it cool. I sure as shit would call it effective, and maybe you should just adapt. We're not going to stop it, so you better learn to use it. And if working, is cloning a rat brain and using its brain as a computer, is that unethical? I'm sure there's a lot of Bible stuff that says it's not that great, but realistically, well, think about all the shit we do to rats and animals and everything anyway. You know, if we're going to run the show, we may as well run it. And if we don't do it, someone else will. But, I mean, technology marches forward. There's not much we can do about this. It's a wild concept. I mean, I don't know. What do you guys think? Send me in, man. Let me know what you think about this. Do you think it's a good thing, a bad thing? Do you think it's something that's positive? Is this going to help humanity? If it does, we should use it. That's what I say. Phoenix sent in a great article to know the signs of your enemy. This is disgusting. Now, I have this thing. Many people have heard me talk about Corpse Crystal. Corpse Crystal is, I believe this is true. You can take this shitty meth that up here they call it Jib. And the meth heads are called Jib Tech Warriors. And that's just in Vancouver. I don't know if that's... let me know if that's happening anywhere else, if there's, like, any other slang terms you got for meth heads and stuff like that. But these Jib Tech Warriors, you see, they smoke a lot of this really shitty meth, which, of course, just, you know, is like a really cheap high, blah, blah, blah. But the meth is so toxic, the body can't process it. So what it does is it finds a weak spot, usually on the face, and tries to eject the methamphetamines from the body. But when it does this, it usually comes out as a boil, and it starts to fester, and then the boil breaks. And the meth is so strong that it will actually crystallize, if it's not picked out or scabbed out, it'll crystallize on the skin. And check it out, you could crack off this pussy, crystallized, like, crunchy chunk and re-smoke it again because it's still the drug. And as a matter of fact, it's been run through a biofilter, so it's probably better. Hence, Corpse Crystal. Another way to tell them is because of this disgusting thing. It's unbelievable they can compare all drugs and, you know, oh, meth is just like weed. Like, I'm sorry, meth does not... There's something that they get called meth mouth. This is one of the reasons why guys, like, if you're going to mess around with any kind of, like, you know, recreational pharmaceuticals, you want to stick with natural stuff, okay? Not stuff derived. I mean stuff you can either pick and eat. Generally, that's my rule. People go, well, there's lots of stuff you can pick and eat that'll kill you. Yes, that's true. But weed doesn't give you meth mouth.
Traeger meth
mouth, quite distinct from the oral damage done by other drugs, sugar and smoking. Sugar as a drug. Nice touch. Methamphetamine seems to be taking a unique and horrific toll on its users' mouths. God, this is disgusting. In short stretches of time, sometimes just months, perfectly healthy sets of teeth can turn grayish brown, twist, and begin to fall out, taking on a particular texture less like that of hard enamel and more like a piece of ripened fruit. The condition, known to some as meth mouth, now known to everyone as meth mouth, has been studied little in dentistry's academic circles and is unknown to many dentists, whose patients are increasingly focused on cosmetic issues. The bleaching and perfect veneers of television's makeover shows. Yeah, don't even get me started on those fucking things. Most unethical show in the world is The Swan. Thanks much. Jesus, those people forgot their oaths. But other dentists, especially those in open, empty swaths of land where methamphetamine is being manufactured in homemade laboratories, say they're seeing a growing number of such cases. Now, when you compare all drugs and they say drugs are bad, right? When I think of hard drugs, when I think of drugs, illegal drugs, you think of shit like cocaine, you think of shit like opium, you think of shit like meth, you think of shit like crack. Okay, that's illegal drugs. And they're illegal because they're designed to make you dependent, they're designed to enslave you to various organized crime syndicates so that they can milk you of all their money before they kill you. And of course, the government really doesn't want to stop it because it's a great way to clear out the underclass, right? As a matter of fact, if they could come out with a better drug to kill the lower class faster, they'd probably be using that. Piss me off. Now, in UN asshat news, the UN pisses me off all the time because it could be a cool organization, but they can't have any nuts whatsoever. This is one of those things where, you know, this problem I have with a lot of people who do the hippie Buddhist thing, you know, like the vegetarian crowd. I love the vegetarian crowd. They're good people, but the problem is they can't do anything because they're not into force. Peaceful resistance. That's the way to go. Well, it doesn't really seem to work. Well, it worked for Gandhi in India, Sean. Yeah, India's got a really rad space program, don't they? They're really ahead in the technological front. I mean, I'd like to live in India right now. That'd be cool. Wait. No, I wouldn't. So what does that tell you? That tells you that eventually somebody somewhere needs to have a soldier who's willing to stand up. But listen to this, okay? And UN asshat news. Electronic drawings that give comprehensive details of how to build and test equipments essential for making nuclear bombs have vanished and could be up for sale on the international black market, according to UN investigators. How in the Mickey Mouse fuck did you lose the plans to make nuclear weapon equipment? The blueprints, running to hundreds of pages, show how to make centrifuges for enriching uranium. In addition, the investigators have been able to trace key components of uranium centrifuge rigs and fear that drawings for nuclear warheads have been secreted away and could be for sale. Inspectors for the UN's Nuclear Authority, the International Atomic Energy Agency, have been investigating the worst nuclear smuggling racket ever uncovered, headed by the Pakistani scientist Abdul Qadir Khan. The operation was discovered 2 years ago to be selling sensitive nuclear technology to Libya and Iran. Now, I reported on this before. What the fuck is this Pakistani scientist doing, if it's actually legit? Or is this all just more WMD FUD? Are they making this guy a patsy? See? They really do have nukes. That's why we have to nuke them first. Yeah, that's what it is. A senior official said several sets of blueprints for uranium centrifuges, the so-called P1 and more advanced P2 systems, which were peddled by the Khan network, have gone missing. We know there were several sets of them prepared, said the official. So who got those electronic drawings? We have only actually got one full set from Libya. So who got the rest? Who got the copies? We have no evidence they were destroyed. One possibility is another client. We just don't know where they are. Well, now, this whole story reeks of propaganda. This whole story reeks of, you see, nuclear weapons are falling in the hands of terrorists. That's why we have to keep going into these countries and getting our kids killed. Don't worry about your children. Thank you, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. We loved your son. He was very good. He died well. Please send more. Interesting stuff. I don't know if this is a true story, this UN story, but it does sound a little bit convenient, doesn't it? I'd like to check some of that. I'm sure that there's lots of backpack nukes running around, too. But it's interesting how this kind of stuff gets a lot of airplay, isn't it? I'd be interested to find out what's really happening in Pakistan. Maybe somebody over in Pakistan picks up newsreel and they could get a hold of me and say, yeah, you know what? That's all bullshit. None of this actually happened. Here's what's really going on, because I'd love to hear that. Now, in a more positive venue, Mostly Harmless sent in some awesome, stellar, I'm fucking standing up and cheering Pink Floyd news. Veteran rock band Pink Floyd have been added to the list of acts appearing next month's Live Aid concert in London. Anyone want to send me some concert tickets and a plane ticket, I will so go to this. Oh my God. Roger Waters, arguably one of the greatest lyricists alive today, will be reunited with band members David Gilmour, Nick Manson, and Rick Wright for the show. So Pink Floyd, back together with Rogers, will be on stage in London. That's fucking hot. The show, organized by Bob Geldof, who's looking rough these days, and Midge Ure to help fight African poverty, is one of five taking place around the world on July 2nd. Now, when Roger left the band, there was a lot of heavy, heavy animosity between them. Yet they were able to get past their animosity to do a show for aid. And I think everyone, especially in the counterculture and in the activist movement, should take a page from that and go, right, let's stop our bitter bickering between ourselves and ally against a common evil. Okay, we need to stop fighting in the IRC. We need to stop fighting online. We need to stop doing the flame wars. And we need solidarity. Get over your shit and move forward. Okay? Pop fans have until midnight to apply for tickets at concert at High Park. People wanting tickets have to text the answer to a multi-choice question and to be within winning a chance of one of 75,000 pairs of tickets. Winning tickets will be drawn at random by computer, which I call bullshit. I think those tickets will probably be a lot of who knows who. Sure, some will be given away at random, but I don't think so. I would love to get my hands on some of those, but I wouldn't want to. You know, it's like, oh yeah, you could go see Floyd together again, but you have to answer these text questions, and we're going to use it. We're going to rape your mind to make sure we get what we need from you to get you to go to Pink Floyd. You know, Roger would completely lose his fucking mind if he saw that. But he's going to allow that to happen because he wants to help the people in Africa more. Some people would say, that's a sellout, man. He shouldn't be doing that. Fuck off, dude. There's people dying in Africa and he wants to help people. That's what's going on there. Two wrongs don't make a right. You know? But hey, you got to do what you got to do. A bad plan today is better than a bad plan, or is better than a good plan tomorrow. Dead Code found some crypto news. Now, this is interesting stuff. Seagate Technology has announced the industry's first 2.5-inch disk drive built on perpendicular recording technology. Great. It's a 160-gig notebook PC giant with 25% more capacity than the largest capacity notebook drive currently available, because you need 160 gigs on your laptop. I'm serious. You do. The expansion of Seagate's family is a monumentous notebook drives further closes the capacity and performance gap between the notebook PC and hard drives, and more users replacing aging desktop systems with notebook computers. I like desktop units myself. I use a notebook because I need to be mobile. Now, here's the other thing. Unlike the thing that's cool about this, other than the fact it's a huge drive, Seagate's new momentous 5400 FDE hard drive will use a hardware-based full disk encryption, FDE, to provide strong data protection. Requires only a user key to encrypt all data, not just selected files or partitions on the drive. Now, this is a good idea. Unlike conventional hard disk encryption systems, the FDE design encrypts the whole drive and not just partitions and specific files, using the software key stored on a part of the disk that can only be accessed by the user. Now, the thing I want to check on here is, what if there's a way that you could access that if you worked for Seagate? Because once companies start putting in encryption standard, you can bet they're going to backdoor it so they can get past your encryption and sell that information. So I would like to see the hack available to take your encryption technology. Go, thanks. Thank you. Thank you very much for doing this. Very good idea. Let's do this again. Let's do this again so that, you know, you can't decrypt my technology. They talk about how this is encryption, but is this just a way to password? It's only Seagate can access your files when they do, you know, sort of a random check, doing updates and stuff like that. Maybe they'll just take a quick look at your encryption codes. Maybe that gets sent back. So in case they ever need to, in case law enforcement ever needs to, they can just crack your files with a phone call. Wouldn't that be interesting? Now, for the story of the day that's just going to make you absolutely foam at the mouth and go completely fucking psychotic, let's talk about some BWAC news, as in born without a chance. Also from Dead Code. The government... I'm going to see if I can get through this without actually having my head fly the fuck off my body. You ready for this one here? The government has defended plans. This is in the UK Gattaca state. As per, you know, over there In England, the government has defended plans to monitor children as young as 3 years old for potential criminal behavior. Children's Minister Beverly Hughes said it was important to identify problems as early as possible. However, she added, there is a balance to be struck between intervening early and labeling children prematurely. Oh, fuck, you think? And it's expected that professionals could look for signs such as difficulties of respecting boundaries or responding to adults and offer appropriate help, like medication, perhaps. I don't think you can tell whether a three-year-old is likely to become a criminal, she told the BBC Radio 4's program. But you can begin to identify children who are having difficulties at an early age. And the basis of that concern, make sure that parents and the child have the assistance to avoid those problems becoming any deeper. Because God knows, children all have to be the same. Let's just bat grow these little fuckers. The Home Office leaked a document that said the children who are not, quote-unquote, under control by the age of three were four times more likely to be convicted of a violent offense. So by 4 years old, they're already saying you're profiled to be a violent offender. What the fuck? That is the most pseudoscience bullshit I've ever heard in my fucking life. It suggested that parenting classes, and in worst cases, putting children who are not under control into intensive foster care instead of care homes, the Sunday Times reported. Into intensive foster care instead of care homes. So you can bet that, you know, Mr. Hughes said the monitoring would be done very sensitively. You can bank that PharmaCom is in on this, man. This is all about the pharma fascism right here. We can take your children away and put them in this non-drug environment where, you know, they're essentially in a re-education camp at the age of fucking four. Do you have any memories of when you were four? Do you remember shit when you were three? I don't remember shit when I was three. So I tell you what, if you got pulled out of a camp and you start being drugged at that age, you're going to be born and raised zombie. All right? Let's just vat grow our own slaves. But I think professionals working with children understand that very, very well, she added. Holy dog shit. You know, I cannot believe that they're considering doing criminal profiling on fucking children. And I mean infants here. Under the age of four, you're not even a child. Okay, a 12-year-old is a child. A 4-year-old is an infant in my books. I don't give a shit what anybody says. That is just uber fucked up. Now, in Daily Hack, I got a Daily Hack for you that's going to blow your mind. This is essential street samurai medication. The stuff's called Eden Plum Concentrate. It's made from Japan from unripe green plums. The plums are harvested, washed, soaked, and then pressed. The juice is then slowly cooked over 48 hours to produce a thick, dark syrup concentrate. For every kilogram of fresh plums, only 20 grams of ume concentrate is obtained, resulting in 30 times the concentration of pickled ume plums without high sodium, blah, 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 blah. It goes on about all the specs. Check it out. Now, I'm running out on time, but at the rant meet, I was having a headache because I got into some fights on Friday night doing work. And I went down, okay, and of course, rant meet, you know, you're on the ball, you got to be running, I got 4 hours sleep, and eventually you wind up getting a bit of a headache, you know? Everybody's out there, they got a bit of the black shakes, it gets them into some screaming. And Vavrick's good buddy, Emma, she says to me, oh, have you ever tried this? And she gives me this plum syrup, and I'm here to tell you, I went from headache to zero in like less than 4 seconds, man. This stuff is the goo. I will emphatically recommend this to everyone. This should be in everybody's kit. This stuff is amazing. Apparently, samurais... Now, think about this now. You're a samurai, okay? Lots of anxiety involved with this. I don't give a shit how good your discipline is. But before samurais would go into combat, they would take this stuff so that it would focus their attention so that they could do their tasks more perfectly. Now, think about crossing this with ginkgo and other nootropic enhancements, and how sexy is this? I got a canister of this stuff, and I'm here to tell you I swear by it. So me, personally, Sean Kennedy, I've used it. I recommend it to you. This shit is the goo. Cost? $14. 14 bucks, and a jar would probably last you 6 fucking months. And it does the same thing that Prozac and all these other drugs do with very little side effects. The shit even comes with a spoon. This stuff is unreal. Please, if you do nothing else from this newsreel show, check this shit out, because this shit is hot. Very, very cool. It's called, you can get it at edenfoods.org. I don't know, there may be some other people. I don't know who else covers this. Oh, pardon me, edenfoods, edenfoods.com, not org, .com. And the shit is called Ume, U-M-E, Plum Concentrate. I got a link to it on my website. Very, very cool. This stuff is essential kit. I'm here to tell you, once you try this, you'll be like, dude, ginkgo and this stuff is hot. And let's not forget, it's been tried and true for a couple thousand years. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to get all the information to you you need to stay alive, like this killer plum stuff. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of Forleet, Allen, Forleet and Allen, Drew Weissamaru, The Grey Ghost, Drake, Weblight, Philip, Perrin, Robert, Jesse, Andrew, Michael, End User, Christopher, Noog, Derek, Joseph, Jesse, Eric, Desert Runner, Steve, Brandon, Jason, Matthew, Mainframe, Peter, Malcolm, Timor, Rosalie, Keith, Matt, Evan, Austin, David, Jonathan, Adam, Richard, Charles, Philip, Jason, Jonathan, Brandon, Host Mojo, Matt, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Dark Nature, Brandon. Thank you very much. And the new subscribers this month, the people who showed up to fight, the support element, the cavalry, came in. They are Ed, Jennifer, Palmer, Art, Kevin, Michael, Dennis, Jesse, Matthew, and Jason. Thank you so much for coming in and helping out. Every little bit helps. And if you would like to keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit Rant Media and click on the donate tab. Upcoming events, make sure you check the sites. No digital baptisms today. But thanks to everyone and their assistance for gathering sensitive data. If you have any other pertinent stories or any information, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by wicked band Velvet Acid Christ. It's called Hex Angel, Utopia Dystopia. Very, very cool album. Extremely cyberpunk. Extremely hot. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Didgeridust that Leviathan linked me up to called Forest Hike. Kind of like an ambient didgeridoo stuff. Very, very cool. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.